All right, welcome into Armchair Champions here on your Tuesday morning. How is it going, Jason?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm excited from all the stuff that's starting to happen.
Yeah, no, it really helps for sports coverage that the Olympics are going on.
Yes.
And it's been pretty busy so far, and we're going to dive into the Olympics a little bit later on in the show. But really we want to talk about some new stuff that's going on. Before we get going too far, though, I do want to talk about this clip from yesterday where Buster Posey slid face first into the the base.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, I'm looking at it right now because it's just hilarious because, you know, who does that? And it's really just like a whole, yeah, into the bag. Into the bag.
So his face hit the bag.
Yeah, literally face first into a bag.
Wow.
So, I mean, so right here, they did this hit. It was a single into center or whatever. Posey's going from first, and he's heading to third. And his arms just got caught behind him. Like, when he went to dive, his arm just, like, kind of got pulled back. He ended up hitting his face into it. Like, you're like, oh, no. Boink. Yeah, and so...
Does Major League Baseball provide a dental plan?
I feel like he could probably afford it. He's getting paid pretty well. So if he can't, then that's no bueno. And so while a lot of people think that baseball is this, you really know that it's more exciting because then every once in a while we have one of these...
Yeah, those exciting things.
But anyway, so I thought that was funny, so I wanted to bring that up. What else do we have going on in sports?
Most of the main things we're going to talk about later, but I guess a few things. Real Salt Lake, they played on like Wednesday and Saturday. They lost one of those games, and they won the other game against the Chicago Fire. There's not a whole lot to talk about. We've already spent some time talking about Real Salt Lake. The other thing that I was really excited for, Utah State started their football practices on Friday, and so it kind of marks the beginning of Utah State football, I guess, for the season. And some things that were kind of coming out of camp early, in some interviews after the practice, Matt Wells was talking about how he was fairly impressed with a couple of wide receivers, Gerald Bright and Raylan Roberts, I think is how you say his name. And so that's something that kind of it excites me because that's one of the big question marks, I believe, for Utah State. You know, you have the linebackers is one question on defense and then the wide receivers on offense. And so to see the praise coming from Matt Wells to these two guys, especially the guys who aren't necessarily like, you know, Wyatt Lewis was really the top returning guy. But you have Gerald Bright, who was a redshirt freshman, and then Raylan Roberts, who didn't see a whole lot of action last year, the fact that they're already stepping up. And
yeah, that's always good. And last year, really, the receiving core didn't do great numbers-wise. It was a pretty balanced thing where nobody really had a huge impact other than Hunter Sharp. And even his impact, you know, wasn't as much as you would expect from a number one wide receiver. So, I mean, yeah, you have questions about, like, who's going to step up. But to me, I wasn't really worried about it. But I am glad to hear that we do have guys specifically who Coach Wells is saying are stepping it up. But speaking of football, have you seen the new stadium, right? Or, like, all the changes that they've made at the stadium?
Yeah, I've been by it once or twice.
Yeah, it looks awesome. The Jumbotron is huge on the north end zone. And they got a nice sound system over there, too. And they put in a Jumbotron that was the size of the old Jumbotron, but on the south side. So instead of that old... really old scoreboard that, you know, had light bulbs like that were dead in the different numbers. We actually have a Jumbotron, which will be much better, and I'm excited for it. And the press box looks great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. And they're just like the other night, they were putting on the names of the different things, like Home of the Aggies and Merlin Olsen Field and stuff like that, and Maverick Stadium. And afterwards, I was like, dang, that looks really good.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited about it. I love football to begin with, but especially when, you know, we get to have new toys.
Yeah.
And we might actually be able to see stuff on the replay, because like before they had like half of the board was ads the whole time. It wasn't like that they would just play from time to time. Like half the board was like reserved for ads the entire time, which was really annoying, and I hope that they don't do that with the new one. But if they do, it'll still be twice as big of a picture that we can see. Yeah. So actually it'll probably be four times as big because it was still split before. Yeah. But yeah, so hopefully they don't do that. But if they do, it'll still be easier to see. Yeah,
we'll still get more. That is one thing. To be honest, stadium replays I've never been a big fan of, because they'll show like one replay like right after the play, and so you miss it a ton of times. Especially when they do like the reviews, it frustrates the crap out of me that they don't show them on the replay board except like one time.
I know. I feel like they'll probably do it a decent amount. You know. Why wouldn't you when you have a really nice Jumbotron that you just got?
Yeah, you gotta show it off, guys, and they're having a hit. It's like, woo!
Like, oh, check out that hit! I mean, they're gonna show replays of plays where we did something awesome. There was, like, a sick play where we have a big hit or a big run, or one of our running backs just runs over a defender. And I'm really excited about it. They were doing some tests. Last week, we went with some other, like, student association people. We went on a rafting trip, and, you know, when we were coming back, like, you could see, like, they were testing the screen, and it was so bright. You could see it, like, really well, even outside of the stadium, and so I'm really excited. I'm excited for our team, too. I think they're going to be good.
Yeah.
They kind of had a down year last year where they went 6-6, or, well, 6-7 with the bowl game. But they did really well in the Boise State game, and then after that, they kind of just were up and down, Jekyll and Hyde, if you will. And I'm excited to see it, because I think that they're going to, you know, they do have to make up for a lot of players on defense. Mm-hmm. But I think the offense, mostly they came back, and I think that they're going to be in a good spot. We don't have to worry about the, you know, the whole Chucky Keaton situation where, you know, we want him to play because of all the stuff that he's done for the program, but to me, it was never really 100%, and it kind of negatively affected the team, I think.
Yeah.
But we don't have to worry about that this year. There might be some quarterback controversy with Damian Hobbs getting some playing time and all that. That's, you know, we have to wait and see on that, but Coach Wells kind of hinted at that at the Mountain West Media Days. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see, because he didn't say, yeah, we're going to be splitting time or anything, but he said that it was a competition, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, I think Myers is probably going to be definitely it's his job to lose at this point. I think the leadership role is that he's been taking, but again, he could still lose that job if he doesn't perform.
Yeah, or if Damian Hobbs does really well, but I'm really excited about Kent Myers. Like, I thought that he did a pretty good job last year. He's not your prototypical quarterback in the sense that he's a bit undersized, and he's really quick, but I don't know. He's not necessarily the best passer, but I thought he did a pretty good job last year, and I'm excited to see him play this year and see what he can do, especially with another year under his belt. But yeah, in my mind, he's definitely the guy until he proves otherwise. Mm-hmm. But it could happen, based on what Coach Wells was saying. And it was really a surprise to me that Kent wasn't at the media days down in Vegas, because, you know, I figure your starting quarterback is going to be there. So then, you know, we were asking ourselves, is he not going to be the starting quarterback? But up to this point, I believe he still is. But Coach Wells was saying it was going to be a battle. But at the same time, the two guys that did go were going to be really important. They're kind of the leaders on the offensive and defensive line.
Yeah. They're both seniors, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they should be really good. They're both first team all-conference players. We had two on the offensive line, two on the defensive line. So I'm excited for what the season will hold.
Mm-hmm. Me too. So the next little bit of news, and this is more of a fun thing. So, question, did you know, or at least before this weekend, that Gordon Hayward played tennis?
I did not know that.
Yeah, neither did I.
I knew he did League of Legends, but I didn't know about tennis.
Yeah, so he played in a tournament throughout this week, if I can pronounce right, the Ardeen Bullard of Love Tennis Tournament, I believe is what it's called. It was a charity tournament dedicated to raising money for type 1 diabetes research. And so Gordon Hayward not only entered the tournament, but he actually won the tournament. And so, yeah, that really surprised me. I mean, I watched a short video of him hitting a couple shots, and he looked like he knew what he was doing. And there's actually a quote from his high school tennis coach that said he was actually pretty good in high school. And so, there's a bit more of something you know about Utah Jazz's, I guess, best player, most famous player. It's up to debate whether or not he's the best player.
He's definitely their best all-around player in my mind, just because he's really good at basically everything. He doesn't, like, extremely excel in any real place.
Kind of that jack-of-all-trades, master of none.
Yeah. But, like, he gives you so much from every different spot that, you know, he's... It's not that he's just a jack-of-all-trades, because he's pretty good at everything.
Yeah.
It's not that he's just good at everything. He's pretty good, like, really good. He doesn't reach that elite level with anything in my mind, but I mean, when you're that balanced, it kind of makes up for it. So I think that, you know, he should be their best player. He might have competition for that, but I would still say that he's their guy, the guy.
Yeah, he's definitely the guy on offense.
Yeah, and he's also a really good defender too. So. Mm-hmm. I remember when he was, I think he was a rookie, maybe it was his second year, but he stole the ball from Kobe while he was dribbling and then went down and dunked it. It was like, yes, because I didn't like Kobe. One of the all-time great players, but I didn't like him.
Yeah.
So, another thing of news that came out today, I guess, this morning, was that Tim Tebow apparently is going to pursue a career in professional baseball.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's finally figured out that teams aren't really gonna, you know, give him a chance again in the NFL.
Has he been trying all this time?
Yeah. I mean, he's been trying to play for a while. He's been an analyst, and I think it was last year he was signed by someone for a little bit, but he then got cut later on in camp or something. But it's just like his form is just jacked up, so. He's not consistent.
Yeah, you can't throw the ball.
Yeah, and so that's why, you know, teams don't want to do it, because he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have what you need for your quarterback in the NFL. He was a great college quarterback, obviously, but he couldn't really do it in the NFL because the problems with his mechanics make it really hard for him to get the ball out very quickly in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you have to get it out a lot quicker in the NFL than college. Because, I mean, you look at the Super Bowl last year and how quickly the Broncos pass rush was getting to Cam Newton every single play.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to get it out fast. And Cam Newton, he wasn't terrible at it. I mean, he didn't have a great game, obviously, but I didn't feel like he did terrible either, but he was still able to get the ball out a lot. But I think Tim Tebow is going to take a sack, like, every time, or be throwing it as he's getting hit.
Yeah.
And that'll cause interceptions and stuff. And that's really, to me, the biggest reason why he wasn't able to have a very long career in the NFL. I mean, we definitely had Tebow mania in Denver for a little bit, but for me, I mean, it's kind of a flash in the pan sort of thing. That he was good for a little bit, but
it's one of those things they didn't know how to stop it for a while, which is actually amazing how well they did. You know, they were amazing running the ball.
Yeah. Right. The thing about it is, this is what happens, like, every year. There's something new that offenses do particularly that works really well for about a year and then isn't as effective later on. Mm-hmm. The Wildcat was an example. That worked really well for that first year, and then after that, like, no one's gone back to it because no one can do anything with it.
Yeah.
I think the same, similar thing is going to happen with Cam Newton and that Carolina offense. Like, I think they had a lot of success last year, but I think teams are going to slow that down a lot. I don't think they're going to be nearly as good. They've obviously still got a great defense. They still got a lot of tools on their team. But I think that they're not nearly as good of a team as they were last year because people can figure out after a year some of these things. And, you know, obviously, they're still going to be good. I still think they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they're a 15-1 team or close to there. I would say that they're more like an 11-5 team.
Yeah.
Do
you think that kind of thing happened to Colin Kaepernick with the read option? I mean, look at where he's at now.
Yeah, I think part of that is Colin Kaepernick. I mean, he did do well in the read option and everything, and I still feel like that's something that you could keep doing to some effectiveness. Mm-hmm. Not as much as initially, but at the same time, I think that Colin Kaepernick didn't develop as a passer very well, and that's the biggest problem for him, and that's why he's had these struggles, because he didn't learn how to be a pocket passer. And he was supposed to start working on this last offseason. And honestly, the first game, I thought he looked pretty good. And I was like, he actually figured out how to be a passer. And then the rest of the season, down the tubes. So another like flash in the pan moment. Maybe he'll be able to develop himself better, because that's the good thing, is he's got all the physical tools to do it. You know, he's just got to get himself so he's set mentally to be able to sit in the pocket. Because he's a big guy, he can take a hit. Obviously, you don't want him taking hits all the time or anything, but
it's one of those advantages for big quarterbacks.
Yeah. And it's kind of, he could be like similar to Russell Wilson. And that Russell Wilson, he does a good job of still being a passer even when he's under pressure, and he scrambles out. He's still looking down the field to pass. And that's something that Colin Kaepernick didn't really develop. But they're both kind of similar in the sense that they're both good at being mobile and everything. But really, they use it for different ways. And Kaepernick does it the way that drives me nuts, because it sets you up to get hurt. He would run down the field and get hit by a big linebacker or something, and going full speed, or a safety. And whereas Russell Wilson, he scrambles out, waits for his guys to still come open as long as he can. And occasionally he will run, yeah. But it's not as often as, say, Kaepernick.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's kind of my two cents on that.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really hope that we take in on our team. I hope that Kent Myers plays like Russell Wilson. Because Russell Wilson is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, because he's able to use his quickness and his elusiveness to get away from the rush and still look downfield to pass the ball. And that's sometimes, you know, some quarterbacks struggle with that.
So Fran Tarkenton did when he was in the league. He's like one of those first scrambling quarterbacks. And he did what you're talking about. He would run behind the line of scrimmage and find somebody instead of just running the ball constantly.
Yeah, because if you're running the ball constantly, then, you know, people aren't going to respect you as a passer. And they're going to be focusing more on you running,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get hit, and you're going to get hurt.
Yep.
So, yeah.
All right, so the next little bit of information, Russell Westbrook, he signed an extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So all Thunder fans had an enormous sigh of relief this week. So I believe the details, a 3-year, $85 million contract. I believe the third year is a player option.
It is.
So, I guess, so the Thunder are going to stay afloat for now. You think they're still like a top three, top four team in the West, even with Kevin Durant gone?
I don't know about top three or top four. They're still a playoff team in my mind, because they still have a lot of good pieces around them, especially where they added Oladipo.
Mm-hmm.
And Sabonis, I think, will be good in the NBA, but time will tell on that one. But Oladipo is an up-and-coming shooting guard. And so, yeah, they lost a lot with Durant, but I think they're still going to be in a good spot. I felt at times when Westbrook was in, when Durant was injured, that the team at times even played better than when they were both together, just because they didn't have to worry about deferring to each other all the time. But really, it's a matter of how they play. If they're going to keep playing isolation with Russell Westbrook, yeah, they're going to get some points, but if they can learn to spread the ball around and do kind of what the Spurs and the Warriors do and just pass the ball, pass it, until they have an opening, I think they'll be a lot better. But I would say I would see them at maybe a 6 or 7 seed, just because I have the Warriors as the top team. I mean, you can't not have them in the top team at this point. And then the Spurs, and then the Clippers or the Jazz, depending on how well the Jazz can pull it together. I think the Jazz are going to be really good. But either way, I think those are the top four teams in the West. I think the Blazers take a step back. I do think that the Thunder are still a playoff team. But really, I mean, a lot can happen, and a lot of it depends on health.
Yeah. So,
what do you think is... Where do you see them?
I see them probably closer to the 5. I do think, you know, 5, maybe 6 or 7, depending on injuries. But you know, I'm just really excited to see if Russell Westbrook just goes all beast mode on the NBA. It's, you know, he's frustrated that Kevin Durant left. But I do agree, they've got a lot of good players. You know, they got Steven Adams, he's up and coming, Oladipo, and then... And his Cantor's there. I wonder how they're going to handle that situation if Cantor will stay on the bench or if they'll try and play him. I don't know if they will. He's not very good as a 4. But still, I agree with you. They are a playoff team. But they're not going to be winning any titles anytime soon unless they manage to add somebody else. So basically, this is... It's basically just kind of delaying the inevitable. The Thunder will eventually fade. Their championship window has essentially closed. Unless some of the guys they have now develop into superstars, essentially.
Yeah, and at the same time, with Durant leaving, but with Westbrook staying and getting that extension, some, you know, big names would be interested in going and playing with Westbrook because of how good he is. So I think that's still an option for them to be able to get someone maybe next offseason, particularly a big man that's like one of the high-profile players. I don't know who's really the free agents next year. I'd have to look it up. But
I think some names or some people have been throwing around Blake Griffin as a guy who could end up in Oklahoma City.
He could. I kind of don't see him leaving because, you know, why would you leave L.A.? Because for me, I don't know that for him it's so much about winning a championship or anything, because really, I mean, he's already in a good spot in Los Angeles for that. I don't think that they're going to win a championship anytime soon, but they're going to be competitive every year.
Yeah.
And for him to leave those opportunities that are there for, like, endorsements and the market inside Los Angeles, I kind of don't see it happening.
Yeah. And another thing, I don't know if I'd rather play with Russell Westbrook than Chris Paul. Because Chris Paul is much more of that pass first and, you know, makes his teammates better, while Russell Westbrook is kind of just a stat monster.
Yeah. And, yeah, Chris Paul is an amazing point guard. Does a great job of getting people involved and playing, like, the true point. He definitely can score. He can shoot. But he's exactly like he's... They're two different styles of players. And Russell Westbrook, you know, he does a great job of stuffing the stat sheet. He's got the most triple-doubles out of anybody over the last few years. He gets a lot of triple-doubles. Does a great job. He isn't as great of a passer as the other guys, but I think he's consistently improved in that. He gets a lot of hate from people because they think he doesn't pass enough. But Russell Westbrook is kind of one of those guys that you really want, or for him, he wants to win so bad and he's so competitive that he says, you know, I'm going to go get some points right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, at times he kind of gets blinded by that and doesn't find his open man, but at the same time, he produces a lot. So.
So you think with this opportunity of definitely being the number one guy now, maybe he can mature a little bit and become a better player from that. But time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. I don't know that I think that he's going to be necessarily a better player. I think he will be able to excel a little bit more because he doesn't have to worry about deferring to Durant. But I think that, you know, he's not necessarily going to become a better passer because he doesn't have someone that, you know, he can defer to and pass or whatever. But at the same time, when you don't have Durant on your team, you can be more worried about finding the open man rather than finding Durant,
yeah,
whether or not he's open. And so that could be a positive for them.
All right. So moving on from that, so something interesting or funny or whatever you want to say happened on Sunday. The Hall of Fame game, the first preseason game of the NFL, got canceled because of poor field conditions. Essentially, if I understand it right, the paint on the field they applied hardened or something like that and made it unsafe.
Yeah, so apparently they didn't think that the paint was going to be dry enough, so the people doing the field tried to speed up the process and heat it up. Well, unfortunately, when they did that, it also kind of heated up the turf and made it all just like this congealed, really hard surface. Mostly just in midfield and in the end zones, which, of course, you know, very high traffic areas.
Yes.
And definitely not someplace where you want to do it. But, yeah, it just made everything really hard, and one of the Packers players said it was hard as concrete. So, yeah, hard as cement. So, not a great situation. They definitely made the right decision to not play the game because... Yeah. If they had asked those players to play on that surface, you would have been having a lot of complaints.
Yeah.
So it was definitely an easy decision. We're not playing this game. But still kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's a little disappointing and not terribly disappointing because, I mean, everyone is just all jacked and excited about football. I was when the preseason kind of snuck up on me. And I saw this ad on the Olympics. All of a sudden, preseason starts tomorrow. It's like, oh. That's nice. But in the end, it's still preseason football.
It is. And that's why it wasn't a huge deal for me that they canceled it. I mean, for most preseason games, it doesn't matter. But with the Hall of Fame game, you're like... This is probably the one preseason game that people would actually be upset about you canceling.
Yeah.
But it was a no-brainer. You had to do it.
Yeah, you definitely had to do it, but... I think they should have been ready for the Hall of Fame game considering the NFL season ended in like February
or something
like that.
So I mean I don't know how they didn't have this ready to go. I mean I don't know why they didn't the field should have been ready like half a week ago.
Yeah.
And it should have been just a regular process. You just put the paint on, you let it dry itself. It's summer, it's gonna dry itself.
Yeah.
And for them to not be ready is ridiculous. It's not like there's gonna be games that are going to go on before the Hall of Fame game on that field. It might even be the only game that is ever played there.
Yeah, they play it in the same place every year, and they play in Canton or somewhere around.
Yeah, there. In Canton where the Hall of Fame is.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any other football teams.
That I don't play think in there's Canton. Any other football games that are ever played there.
Yes, yeah, so that should.
So be how ready. Do you not have that ready?
That should be ready all year round, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they had all summer. So you have that ready. It's not like they had to worry about having to change the field within a week of some other event. I don't... To my understanding, there aren't any other events that go there. So why wasn't this ready like a couple weeks ago at least?
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
It's great.
And really, I mean, it's not really a reflection on the NFL itself because it is run by the Hall of Fame, not by the actual league. And so that's on them or whatever. It's still... Still not great for the NFL, but the Hall of Fame is really the ones who are responsible. But come on, get your crap together.
Putting on a football game. I guess they didn't really want to see preseason football either.
No?
Maybe not, I don't know. But it is kind of disappointing they have the Hall of Fame game where it's this, I guess, sentimental game, I guess. You know,
yeah.
Representing the Hall of Fame. And I don't know, historically, do the starters ever even really play in the first preseason games? I get the feeling they tend to...
Yeah, they usually play, like, the first half.
Yeah.
And then the second half, they do second string in the first game, I think. I know in the third game it's kind of the most like you would expect. You have the starters play for like three quarters just because they want to make sure they're in a rhythm for most of the game. And then the last game, the fourth one, they starters play maybe like one series most of the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. For me, I mean, it's a useless game or whatever, but at the same time, preseason itself, a lot of people think that we should just skip it, but it's really, it's a way for people to see how their players are playing in-game.
Yeah.
And this is really important for a lot of the guys who are trying to make the team.
Yeah.
Obviously, for the guys who are the starters, you know, yeah, it helps a little bit to get some fine-tuning on in a real game situation, but the biggest thing is for these young guys who are trying to make a team, undrafted rookies or, you know, other guys who are, you know, barely on the bubble of getting cut. Like, this is their chance to go out and prove themselves.
Yeah, it is something really good for the coaches and, like I said, the players, where it's basically, well, it is an exhibition. It's like scrimmages, basically. I mean, in the middle of summer, you sometimes have inter-squad scrimmages, and that's basically what these are on a bigger scale, so that, like you said, they can get some sort of game time experience.
Yeah.
Where they can perform instead of just throwing scripted passes and runs and things like that.
Yeah, and I mean, you can only simulate a game so much in practice.
Yeah.
So it's invaluable. The best way to get better at football is to play football.
Mm-hmm.
And you can practice, but it's not the same as being in the game. Like, especially you hear stories all the time of players who were really good in practice but weren't great in games.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way around, where guys weren't very good in practice but game day they would turn it on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is a chance for those who maybe aren't good at practice but are good in game situations to prove themselves. So, again, like, I mean, a lot of people think that we should get rid of it or shorten it, but to me, I think that it's invaluable to those guys who are just trying to make the team, and also for, you know, the teams to evaluate these players.
Yeah. And I'm not a huge fan. I know Roger Goodell proposed that thing to lengthen the season to like 18 games and cut out two of those preseason games. Oh, I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, and yeah, players won't go for that.
Yeah.
They won't.
It's long enough as is for such a hard sport that is football, and it also contradicted Roger Goodell's supposed player protection thing where he wants to, you know, help the players. 18 season games aren't gonna help anybody.
Yeah.
Except the NFL's pocketbook.
Yeah, and that's really what it's about, because you don't make nearly as much on preseason games as you do the other things. So like, it's the same number of games, but it's not really, because you know, the preseason games, they don't matter, so guys aren't gonna be going all out. As far as like starters and everything. And whereas if they're playing a regular season game, you know, their season could depend on that game, that individual game, because you lose one game, and that's the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, or having a first seed or a fifth seed sometimes. And so they're going to be going at it hard every game of the season. And as it is, like, guys have a hard time staying healthy just for 16 games. Mm-hmm. You throw on two more, and that makes it even harder. And so players will never go for that. You talk to any NFL player, and they will tell you, yeah, we don't want more games because it's hard enough with 16.
Yeah.
Now, if anything, they would prefer to have a shorter season, but
I don't think they're going to go back to the 14-game seasons.
I don't think so either. I think that they'll stick with 16. I don't think anything changes. The only thing that might happen is they might make it just three preseason games and still keep the 16-game season. But time will tell. But I know a lot of people aren't fans of Roger Goodell, and when they see him, they scream, and they're like, no! Especially Tom Brady. This is Tom Brady's theme song when he sees Roger Goodell. Because he knows that Roger Goodell is just going to do something to him.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of animosity between them. But, and I want to bring up something that I saw while I was looking at the thing about Tebow wanting to play MLB, but apparently Rams running back Trey Mason hasn't been seen for months.
Really?
Yeah, so he hasn't. No one from the Rams has talked to him since about the time the season ended. His family, according to at Leading NFL, sent out a tweet that said, Rams running back Trey Mason is missing. His family, friends, and teammates have no idea where he is and are worried. And that apparently was reported by TMZ. So, hopefully he's okay somewhere.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
But, I mean, yeah, it's weird that I hadn't heard about that until I just noticed that at the bottom of another page. And so, yeah. Actually, it was about the Hall of Fame game, so at the bottom it had a link to that, so...
You never like to see players get hurt, especially seriously hurt, like you'll miss him for months, and you hope he's still alive at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he hasn't been seen by anybody, so really hope he's okay. Trey Mason, if you're listening, come back.
Go talk to your family.
Yeah. So yeah, I really hope he's okay, but it looks kind of sketchy.
Alright, so I guess the big sports thing over the weekend obviously was the Olympics. You know, the United States is doing pretty well. They're leading the medal count. They're usually up there somewhere.
Yeah.
America.
America.
You know, the best feelings in the sports world is to do the USA chant. USA. USA.
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody's like, these guys are a bunch of jerks.
It's even fun when it goes on just regular sports games, like after they sing the national anthem. Because you got the two almost enemy fans.
But everybody's cheering USA.
Yeah. So it's a really nice bonding moment. That's why the Olympics are great, because, and like the World Cup and things like that, all sports fans in America come together.
Yeah.
United States.
So crazy thing, though, that I found out this morning was that we have way more athletes at the Olympics than everybody else. So we have 554 athletes, according to, you know, Google. but we have 554. The next highest that I could find was Brazil, and they had 469, I believe.
They're hosting the team.
Yeah, 469. Which I thought was really high for Brazil. I expected, like, China to be the second highest. But they weren't. You know, it was Brazil.
Nobody has to really travel.
China has 400 athletes. So,
and China's, like, I believe they're second in the medal count. Second or third.
Yeah. Yeah, China's second. We've got 19. We've got 5 gold, 7 silver, 7 bronzes. China has 13 total. They've got 5 golds as well. And 3 silvers and 5 bronzes. The next highest, as far as total medal count, are Japan and Russia, who each have 10, but next highest gold medal one is Australia with 4. But, yeah, I didn't realize we had that many athletes that were going to be there. Yeah. I mean, I guess it helps when you have, like, all the team sports represented, just about. To my understanding, we don't have our men's soccer team is not there.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't qualify, from what I was told on Olay Utah State. And that's the show that goes on Mondays. But yeah, I wasn't aware of that until just a few weeks ago or something. But our women's team is playing, and they're awesome.
Yeah, the women's team, I mean, it's one of the best in the world. They won the World Cup the last time, and then won the finals the time before.
Yeah, they've won the World Cup 3 out of the 4 times that they've done it since they have had a team back in 96, I think, or something like that. We were talking about it yesterday. I guess they were. I wasn't talking with them, but they were talking about that yesterday on Olay Utah State. So yeah, our women's team does a great job. I expect them to win again because they're the best in the world. If they don't win, it'll be an upset.
Mm-hmm.
So
Then Team USA basketball is obviously doing good. So I saw this one article. I thought it was funny. It almost got an audible chuckle out of me. This, I didn't even click on the article. I just saw the headline. It said, no LeBron, no Curry, and the team, some of the effect of the Team US, how is the Team USA team still so good? I just laughed. I was like, seriously?
Because America.
Well, no. Because of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, you still have like, even without LeBron, the best player in the world, you still have the second best in Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, I'm not going to put him as a top five player. Offensive player, he's number one.
Yeah.
But overall player, he's... Maybe he's top five. I don't know. I'd have to actually sit down and come up with the top five, but I wouldn't pick him in the top five just off the top of my head. Because while he is great at offense, his defense isn't so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily pick him for that. But, you know, he is a good player.
Yeah, definitely.
But the amount of talent that we have in the U.S. for basketball is unreal.
This is the highest amount of basketball talent concentration in the world.
Yeah.
And so it's basically the All-Star game minus LeBron, Curry, and a handful of other good players that chose not to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, and it's the All-Star game playing against other countries.
Yeah, that have...
That have, like, one or two NBA players.
You should find out how
that
many...
aren't the top guys.
You need to find out how many All-Stars are players that are not native to the United States.
There's only a few.
Yeah,
I mean, the overwhelming majority are American, yeah, so...
I can't really think of any. I know the only place I can think that are not from the U.S. are Jazz players or Andrew Wiggins, and a few others, some Turkish players.
I mean, so, and was Andrew Wiggins an All-Star last year?
Yeah, I don't think he was an All-Star, but he did score like 20 points per game.
He's pretty good.
So he'll be an All-Star at some point, but...
Oh, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, you got Matthew Dellavedova is on the Australian team. And apparently some analysts thought that Australia was going to push the American team, and there's not a chance in my mind.
They didn't really have a whole lot of players. I mean, they've got Joe Ingles, you know, Jazz guy, but, of course, he's not all that good.
Yeah.
At least compared to...
Yeah, I mean, they've got Patty Mills is another guy that he's good but not... great,
yeah.
Everything. He's a solid guy off the bench.
Yeah, it's just these other national teams are fielding players as starters who are either bench players, some guys are like over the hill. You have some young stars, you know, Rudy Gobert playing for France, and like I said, well, does Canada even have their basketball team in the Olympics?
Who?
Canada?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. I haven't heard of them. I know
France is one team that could be somewhat problematic, but...
Yeah, cause they've got, like, Tony Parker, Boris Diaw, it's Rudy Gobert, but I believe they lost to... Who did they lose to?
If they lost, then that's kind of sad, because they were probably the second-best team, in internationally speaking. But, yeah, that's the thing is, you know, even with these guys, they might be good enough to be in the NBA, but few are... You know, the dominant guys in the NBA. Obviously, Dirk Nowitzki was really good for a long time, but he's kind of over the hill.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much he's really going to be able to do for Germany. The French team, you know, Tony Parker's kind of getting old and isn't as good as he used to be. Boris Diaw, you know, he's older, so, you know, his impact is really going to be limited. Rudy Gobert will be a tough test for anybody in the middle. But I think that, you know, no one really has a chance to seriously compete with America because,
yeah.
I mean, basketball is king here. Basketball and football are king.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere else, you know, basketball is kind of a second, you know, the second sport where if you're not playing soccer, okay, maybe you're playing basketball. But, I mean, I know in Argentina is the last team to win besides America. They won in 2004 with Manu Ginobili and Luis Scola and all them.
Yeah.
But there apparently, for a lot of people, and at least the part that Ginobili is from, basketball is bigger there than soccer is. But overall, soccer is bigger everywhere.
Yeah.
And so...
Really, the only
it doesn't mean as much to them.
Yeah, the only thing Europe seems to produce as far as basketball is 7-foot white guys who can shoot the ball.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only thing we get out of Europe.
Yeah, and very limited impact in my mind. Like, they don't really play down low very well. They're not great defensively. They're solid players, but not great in my mind. I mean, there are some exceptions, obviously, but I think mostly.
Yeah, but you look at Dirk, I mean, he's exactly that. I mean, obviously, he was a lot better than everyone else.
Yeah. But yeah, Dirk was definitely really good. He's really old now, so not as good because you just lose it as you get older.
Of course.
But then you have Kristaps Porzingis, who's did really well as a rookie in New York. And I expect him to be good going forward, but it's more of, you know, every once in a while you'll get one, but mostly, like, these seven-footers, they're okay.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, game-changing, per se.
It's kind of like Ersan Ilyasova, that, you know, he's going to be in the NBA for a career, but he's kind of a journeyman.
Yeah. And if he wasn't, then he wouldn't have been put in the trade with Oladipo and stuff. I mean, it was more of a cap issue for him.
Yeah.
But, solid player.
Yeah,
solid. Kind of a role player, though.
Yeah.
And that's how I think most of those guys end up.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, whenever I'm playing NBA 2K, I tend to not really draft international players as much because I just don't feel like their skill set is going to match what I want my big men to do. Because in real life, I mean, I definitely would emphasize using, you know, the post. But when I'm playing 2K, I just shoot a lot. And I want them underneath the rebound.
Yeah.
Not to go out to the three-point line themselves.
You want guys like Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm actually on my player mode. I'm on the Jazz, so.
Sweet.
And I'm the point guard, and I just score lots of points, and they get lots of rebounds and stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jazz could use a point guard. Although they got one.
They had seven at the beginning, or after free agency.
That was nuts.
But the Jazz, they look like they're going to be really good. But anyway.
Yeah. Back to the Olympics. One thing I thought also was kind of funny. So, Lily King, kind of a storyline there. She won the, the breaststroke, the 100-meter breaststroke. And there was a rivalry between her and Russian swimmer, and see if I can pronounce this right, Yulia Efimova, or Efimova? I can't pronounce Russian.
Yeah, I don't know, because... It might be some other weird pronunciation that you don't expect, but I would guess that you're right on that. Yulia Efimova. That's how I read it when I read about her.
Yeah. So she's the Russian swimmer who was kind of reinstated to the Olympics and allowed to compete, and there was some, you know, Dikembe Mutombo finger wagging going on between the two of them, going back and forth as they kind of broke each other's records, and then going into the final. The final race, Lily King ended up winning it, so America over Russia.
America.
Cold War still exists in the Olympics.
America. America. Can't keep going with that because it's no longer radio appropriate.
Nope.
America.
America. Yeah, so...
So anyway, long story short, the American girl, what's her last name again?
King.
Yeah, she ends up winning, setting a new world record.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of... She bad-mouthed.
Yeah, she did. She was not in that typical... What's the word? Just, you know, hold back, don't say anything crazy during interviews. But she blatantly said, that's not who I am. And so she did fire some shots. You know,
shots fired.
She fired some shots towards Yulia about her, you know, she was suspended and stuff for
doping.
Yeah.
Shocker. Someone from the Russian team is caught doping.
I mean,
half of their Olympic team hasn't come to the Olympics or are disqualified from the Olympics because of doping.
Yeah.
Shocker, right?
Complete shocker. So...
Anyway, continue.
But this proves that Americans are better because, you know what? We don't have to take steroids.
Well...
Except, that was mostly sarcastic.
Yeah, okay, good. Because she specifically mentioned that she didn't think that Gatlin should be on the Olympic team for America because he has been caught doping in the past.
Yeah. And you look at Major League Baseball, Americans take steroids.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's sad that they do. You really... you really wish that they wouldn't, because it reflects badly on the team as a whole, really, because then they're, like, suspicious of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You have one... It's really, like, when you're a kid in elementary school, and you have that one kid that's causing a ruckus and ruins something for everybody. I was sometimes that kid, but... but, yeah, it's like that, really, if you have one person on your team that dopes, then it makes everyone look suspicious.
Yeah, it's like, who did that person give or share their stuff with, you know?
Yeah, or just like, is it, you know, something that was promoted by the team?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you don't want that, but yeah, you never know.
Never do. So hopefully we can get rid of steroids in the Olympics.
Yeah, because really, I mean, this is a matter of, you know, the Olympics, the point of that is to show individuals excellence. I'm not a supporter of it, of steroids.
Yeah.
In professional sports, but for me, like, it doesn't bother me as much if someone was doing steroids in the MLB as much as it would in someone in the Olympics, because the Olympics, you're trying to prove, like, it only happens once every 4 years. And it's an opportunity for countries to showcase kind of the talent that they have in their country.
Yeah.
And when you're using performance-enhancing drugs, it kind of takes away from, you know, the meaning of it. And you say, well, this person won. And you've got lots of scandals going back the last few Olympics to where, you know, they were caught doping and then they had to take away their medals later on. And you don't ever want to see that. You don't ever want to see cheating, especially in the Olympics, because it's kind of a way to... I mean, because I feel like before the Olympics, the way that you showed your team was superior, your country was superior, was through war. And yeah. With the Olympics, it's kind of a way to avoid doing that and to...
If you got better athletes, we'd totally kick your butt in war.
Yeah. Or not exactly, but... But yeah, just like showing, we have the best athletes, which
it's
America always has the most medals, and almost always has the most gold medals, too.
Partly because we have so many people.
Yeah, I mean, that's a benefit. We have, I feel like sports are such a big thing in America,
mm-hmm.
probably bigger than other places. Obviously, soccer's huge everywhere, but overall, is like all the different sports, I think that, you know, America is all about all the different sports.
Yeah.
And I think other countries, just not as big of a deal for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at, like, Poland has 244 athletes, but then Portugal only has 94. You know, Portugal, and it's not a huge country, but you figured they would have a bigger team than that.
Like, Japan's, they were third in the medal count, and they're kind of a puny country.
Well, as far as size-wise, size. But there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, it is a good population.
And they have one of the higher totals, too. They have 340. Athletes. So, but then you have like India, who obviously have tons and tons of people. They only have 121 athletes at the Olympics. So,
it's not helping that stereotype of them being nerds.
Let's. I didn't know that was a thing.
apparently, they're really intelligent. They work in like engineering and business and, you know, learning about how social, you know, stereotypes aren't always the greatest thing, you know.
I think more than anything, it just shows that, you know, sports aren't as big of a thing to them.
Yeah. But
you know what is a big thing for them? Based on their religion, cows are very important to them.
Yes.
And they will be very upset if you tell them you want to eat cow. So don't do that.
Don't eat a burger in India.
Yeah. Now, to my understanding, these guys are okay.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I think the sound effects box is fun.
You're just having time with that, aren't you?
Yeah, of course. I gotta find ways to incorporate it. Like America.
That's really short.
I know, but yeah. America. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening to Armchair Champions. If you want to catch this podcast, it will be up on our website shortly, the next few minutes. But yeah, tune in tomorrow for my other show, The Bullpen, also on Friday. But yeah, so
exciting times. Yeah, and if you want to, if you have any thoughts, you can tweet me at the Jaywalk or at the Jaywalk 67.
Jaywalk.
Yep, Jaywalk. Hey, that's my nickname.
Oh yeah?
All through high school. Thanks. I feel so much better now.
Yeah, you should. But anyway, thank everyone for listening. Make sure you stay tuned all day for music and yeah, I don't know what shows we have going on today. There will be a show later on today, but it might not air until Thursday. So I'm going to, you know, backtrack and pretend like I didn't say anything just now. But once again, I want to thank you guys for listening to Armchair Champions here on Aggie Radio KBLU 92.3 Logan, Utah.